Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You can put a bit in a horse's mouth, and you can tell that horse where to go. You can tell that horse when to stop. You know, horses are powerful. You know, they are powerful beings. I remember I was on a horse one time, and the horse started going out of control. I mean, the horse started bucking and going out of control, and I thought for sure that was the end until the manager from Kmart came out and pulled out the plug. But
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Tongue. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Tongue.
And they're done. They're out. So we can say that it's out there. No, it's in here. It's right here. So that's why we have to go back to the words of the psalmist. Lord, put a guard before our mouth. Put a guard before our mouth. The possession of the tongue is seen in verses 1 and 2. The possession of the tongue. My brethren, be not many teachers, knowing that we shall receive the greater judgment. That not only teachers, but every believer is going to give an account for their tongue. The scripture is very clear that man shall give an account of every idle word that's spoken. So all of us will give an account of what we say, our words, especially if our words have been damaging and discouraging. Secondly, for in many things we all stumble. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. If you can control, if you can take possession and discipline your tongue, then the chances are that you're not going to have any problem with anything else. That's what James is saying. So generally, an undisciplined tongue is usually an indication of undiscipline in other areas of life. All right, now I'm just saying what the word says. If you got an issue, you can take that up with God. All right, so we need to take possession of our tongue. That's what he's telling us there in those first two verses. Take possession of your tongue. Let's look at the power of the tongue. Verse 3. And you know, there's not a lot of commentary needed because these verses primarily speak for themselves. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. You can put a bit in a horse's mouth, and you can tell that horse where to go. You can tell that horse when to stop. You know, horses are powerful. You know, they are powerful beings. I remember I was on a horse one time, and the horse started going out of control. I mean, the horse started bucking and going out of control, and I thought for sure that was the end until the manager from Kmart came out and pulled out the plug. But Got to keep you in, connected. Right? But horses are powerful, and you can control that big, ferocious beast with a little bit in the mouth. And then in verse 4, he said, behold also the ships, which though they are so great and are driven by fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm wherever the pilot willeth. That this big ship, big cruise ship, 3 football fields, swimming pools, gymnasium, banquet halls, disco play, on these big ships, and they're turned by a little helm. And they go wherever the pilot wants them to go. James says, verse 5, even the power of the tongue, the power of the tongue, even so the tongue is little, like the bit in the horse's mouth, like the helm that drives the ship. The tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire can. kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among the members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. That's a powerful statement right there. There's a whole lot of condemnation in that verse there about the tongue. And again, you know, we have seen beautiful people, beautiful looking people on the outside. I mean, you know, just have everything going on, physique, looks, and everything else. And you, just to look at them, you say, behold, what a magnificent individual. Until they open their mouth. And then when they open their mouth, your whole image changes. Your whole thought pattern changes about the individual. And that's what James is saying here. He's saying that the tongue, no matter how good you look, no matter how buffed you are, that if your tongue is defiled, it messes up your whole body. Your whole body is messed up. All that you work for, all that you tried to achieve, all that you tried to do can crumble to the ground just by the wrong words that come out of your mouth. This is the power of the tongue. The tongue can take you down in a matter of seconds. You remember that fire? It destroyed over 265,000 acres in less than 5 hours, and the tongue can take you down in less than 5 seconds. It can take you down. All that you ever worked for, all that you ever tried to accomplish, will be gone because of your mouth. Because of your mouth. You know, sometimes things are beyond repair. Reputation, image, sometimes you can't get it back. That's why we need to ask the Lord to put that guard over our lips. The tongue is powerful. But he also says that the tongue is perverted. What are you saying here? Verse 7. For every kind of beast, of birds, of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed by mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is just like a snake, filled with venom, just waiting to strike out at the nearest object. And when you think about what he says here about the tongue, he says that you can go to the circus and you'll see trained monkeys and you'll see trained bears and you'll see trained lions and you'll see trained tigers, that these ferocious beasts are tamed, that they can make them do whatever they want to do, that they can tame it. But the tongue can nobody tame. Nobody can tame the tongue. So, as I said earlier, maybe the point that we want to look at is more than anything else, damage control. Because the tongue is unruly. Like the one person said, I just washed my tongue and I can't do anything with it. Why? It's unruly. It's unmanageable. And so we need to realize that. And when we realize how unruly and how unmanageable the tongue is, that should always keep us mindful. That, man, I got to work hard. This is something that I have to work hard at. And then the produce of the tongue. The produce of the tongue. Verses 9 through 12. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men who are made after the similitude of God. You know, it's easy to come and praise a God that you don't see, but it's hard to praise and not curse somebody that we do, that's on our nerves, that's done got on our last nerve, that did something to us that we think is was unbelievable and unnecessary. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine figs? So can no fountain yield both salt water and fresh. Now, this is deep. This is deep. Let me throw this out at you. Mankind can do something that no other part of God's creation can do. Mankind. The nature of the flower is only to produce flowers. The nature of the fig tree is only produce figs. The nature that God created us for is to praise Him. But what do? We do the opposite. The human beings are the only creation that goes against their nature. Again, this lets us know that we got a lot of work to do. And it's not all my brother or my father or my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. See, I know how people's mind work. Some people sitting here today say, man, I'm glad that so-and-so is here to hear that message. They really need to hear what Pastor Glaze is saying. No, you need to hear what I'm saying. Because your tongue is unruly. My tongue is unruly evil. And unless I discipline myself and unless I control it, it's going to get out of hand. And I know it. I know me, and so that leads right into my next point. If you'll go up and put that next, that leads right into my next point, all right, which is booyah. You got to think before you speak. In Proverbs 15:28, Solomon says that the wise man studies before he gives an answer. That he meditates, that he thinks before he gives an answer. And so in order to keep us out of trouble with our tongue, if people would just begin to think before they speak, then they would see that they would save themselves. What did that one proverb say? A world of trouble. You know, your troubles are brought on. And I think I heard somebody say it this morning. I don't know who said it, but we are our worst problem, right? And our troubles are brought on a lot of times by ourselves because we say things that we shouldn't say. So you got to think before you speak. The T stands for, is it true? So I'm thinking what I'm getting ready to say, is it true? The H stands for, is it helpful? Is it something that's going to help somebody? If somebody's driving down the road and the bridge is out, and I stop and I tell them, that's helpful. That's very helpful. Okay? Is it helpful? Is what I'm getting ready to say, if I'm in a discussion, if I'm in a meeting and I'm getting ready to say something, is what I'm going to say, is it going to be helpful? Is it going to move this situation along? Is it going to bring us toward a resolution? Is it helpful? The I. Is it inspiring? You know, is it something that's going to inspire the folks around, you know, to move and do greater? Is it something that's going to encourage even the little kids? What I'm going to say, is it inspiring? You know, I said something to my grandson a couple of weeks ago, and I shouldn't have said it. And I was so sorry that I, because it wasn't inspiring. It wasn't inspiring. And just that quick, it rolled off of my lips. And I knew I shouldn't have said it. And even the tone kind of changed after that because it wasn't inspiring. So, you know, we have to ask the question, is what I'm getting ready to say, is it inspiring? The end. Is it necessary? Everything is not necessary. You know, we need to realize, and you know, sometimes, you know there are what we need to get out, the facts that we need to get out, and boom, you know, then we need to talk about resolution and coming to a decision. But sometimes people want to go overboard. And so we have to ask, is it necessary? And then in the spirit of Christ, we have to ask, is it kind? Is what I'm going to say kind? Because, you know, sometimes there are things that need to be said, but are you going to say it in a way that's kind? You know, sometimes people say, well, I'm just going to put my religion on a shelf and tell this person what I need to tell them. So in other words, what you're saying is, you know, I'm going to become unspiritual. I'm going to be in the flesh, and I'm going to let this person know, you know, and I'm going to do it out of the flesh. And as I do it out of the flesh, then they're going to know how I feel. So we have to ask the question, is it kind? Is it kind? So you got to think before you speak. Proverbs 15 and verse 28, you have to think before you speak. And then let's go to the last point that I have. And as we look at the last point, I'm going to go through this real quick. Taming the tongue, putting out the fire. Taming the tongue, putting out the fire. All right, James, you know, one thing that James did, you know, he identified the problem, but he didn't really go into a lot of solutions. Okay, so we want to look at some solutions today. And so let me give you how to tame the tongue and put out the fire. First of all, dedication. You got to dedicate your tongue to the Lord. You got to dedicate your tongue to the Lord. Is your tongue, and I think we have it here, the third bullet point is denial. You got to deny the use of the tongue for sinful purposes. And in Romans chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, it says, yield the members of your body. What are the members of your body? Your hands, your feet, your eyes, and your what? Your tongue. Yield the members of your body over to righteousness, not to unrighteousness. So the way that you do that is dedicate your tongue to the Lord. Lord, my tongue belongs to you. But see, some of us don't want to do that because you know why? It's in our spirit to be critical and condemning, judgmental, angry. You know, whatever's in your heart, that's the words that are going to come out. Whatever your heart is filled with, those words are going to come out. If you have an angry heart, then bitter words are going to come out. If you have a lustful heart, then lustful words are going to come out. If you have a condemning heart, you know, if you want to see, and Jesus talked about this, if you want to see what's in a person's heart, just sit around and listen to them talk long enough. That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. Just sit around and listen to them talk, and then pretty soon, they're going, you know, they might be holding their cards like this, right? You can't see them. And you're trying to play cards with them, and you can't tell what they got in their hand. But you know what? Stay around them long enough, they're going to show you your hand. They're going to show their hand. And you're going, because it's in their heart. And eventually, it comes out in their tongue. Devotion. Cleanse your tongue by spending time in the Word. Psalm 119:9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? How shall he cleanse his tongue? By taking heed according to the Word of God. Get in the Word of God. Cleanse your tongue in the Word. You know, the choir sang it so beautifully today. And that's one reason I couldn't sit in my seat. Order my tongue. Order my tongue in your Word. Show me how to talk in your Word. Right, there goes a sermon right there. Every last one of us, if we didn't sing it, we had it in our mind. Order my tongue. Show me how to talk. Lord, let my tongue be guided by your Word, be cleansed by your Word. Development. Now, here goes the hard part that we don't want to do. And that is develop relationships with trusted friends who will be able to tell us when we offend with our tongue. You know, I'm convinced there are some people that don't know when they're offending with their tongue. They don't know it. I mean, they have been in this pattern, you know, so long that it's dug a groove that they don't even know when they're doing it. And so we have to be open enough to let other people, you know, come to us and say that, man, you know, that was kind of offensive. You know, I praise God for my wife because she lets me know sometimes when I say something that's not lining up, that might be insensitive. And we have to be open to, and I'm not all the time, am I open? At first, you know, what is that? Going back to, you know, this idea of brokenness, what happens? That snake in us rises up, right? That snake rises up, and as soon as somebody tells us something about ourselves, what do we want to do? We want to strike out at them. No, what are you talking about? Instead of being in a receiving mode. And now, don't you want to be a better person? Don't we all want to be better people? And sometimes to get better, we have to open up to other people that we love and that we trust, and for them to be honest. And see, sometimes the reason that people don't want to comment and say anything, because they know that it's going to be a problem. They know that the person's not going to receive it, and they know it's going to be a problem, so what do they say? Just let me keep my mouth shut. Let me just keep, because the other person, they're not going to receive it. And so this person continues to go on and leave a trail of dead folks behind them that they have bit with their venom, right? Because nobody checked them. Nobody put them in check. So you develop relationships, you know, and the Proverbs there, well, let's look at these two. Proverbs 27, then this is the last 2 points, Proverbs 27 and verse 6. Proverbs 27. Okay, so faithful are the wounds of a friend. When somebody that loves us wounds us, that's a good thing. Because they are concerned about us. You know, they don't want to see us having this negative image. They don't want to see us hurting person after person. And so they are honest enough to come and wound us. But praise God, the wounds will heal. The wounds will heal. And then Proverbs 17 and verse 10. Proverbs 17 and verse 10, that we have to put our pride aside and accept when people come to us. Proverbs 17 and verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. That you can beat a fool 100 times and he still won't learn anything. But a wise man, if you reprove him, he receives it. So if we have a hard time receiving, then I'm just going to say what the Bible says. I'm not going to say you. Let me say we. We are fools. If we have a hard time receiving, when somebody's speaking the truth to us about our tongue, and we have a hard time receiving it, then we're a fool. We're a fool. Now, I didn't say that. That's what. Let me read this again. A reproof entereth into a wise man more than 100 stripes into a fool. A fool won't hear it. You can tell a fool 100 times and he still won't hear it. But a wise man will hear it once. Because they want to please God. And they want to do what's right.
Thank you for joining us today on the Anchored in Jesus radio program. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Personal Discipline, the Tongue. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's teaching, Personal Discipline, the Tongue, you can contact us here at the Anchored in Jesus radio program by calling 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Tongue. Again, that's 877-831-5060 and request Personal Discipline, the Tongue. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchor to Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.